anybody can be beat.
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of the Brandon Dowling Show here on Jet Nation Radio. And man, oh man, has it been a long time. It's been about, I believe we haven't done a show here in almost 3 weeks. Last time we did this, it was right around Thanksgiving, and the New York Jets were still trying to find themselves. We sat here, we were really the unknown, and boy, has a month of football changed, and it's changed for the better around here if you're a fan of the green and white. I mean, there's so much to talk about. I mean, there's just scenario after scenario after scenario, and amazingly enough, you know, there's so much happening right now, and the New York Jets are sitting at 8-5. And in three games that we came into this year saying, you know what, that's going to be a brutal end to their schedule. Now, let's be honest. Coming into this season, before the season even started, everybody who goes through your wins and losses, you go through the New York Jets' last three games, it was the brutal part of their schedule. Nobody was expecting the Cowboys to be decimated by injuries and completely implode. Nobody was expecting the Buffalo Bills to be, you know, as bad as they are this year. You know, a lot of people thought Buffalo was going to be the team to overtake New England. Don't forget that. And then, obviously, the New England Patriots are the New England Patriots. So they went into this year with these three games as really their toughest three games of the year. And now they sit at 8-5. Coming off a huge win against Tennessee. I mean, if there was any, you know, the New York Jets, see, this might anger a lot of Jet fans. Because we, as Jet fans, we've seen how good this team can be, and we've seen how bad this team can be. We've seen them at the height of beating the Colts on Monday Night Football to start the season, and the lows of getting blown up by the Raiders on the road. But the New York Jets now sit at 8-5, with 3 to go, and a very, very good chance to make the playoffs. They're right in it. I mean, the only thing that you really have to look at for the Jets, which is kind of disappointing, is they're going to need help. And when to imagine the Jets winning 11 games this year, not getting into the playoffs, is mind-boggling to me. If you would have said to me, I think the Jets are going to finish 11-5 this year, I would have thought you were crazy. I said, wow, what a great year. 4-12 to 11-5, new coach, new quarterback. Wow. And they're right there. It's going to set up to be games where Saturday night versus Dallas, I mean, I don't want to sound arrogant. I don't want to sound cocky, and it's the Jets. So anything can happen with the New York Jets. But I look at this game against Dallas as a very, very, you know, a game the Jets should win pretty handily, like the Tennessee game. I mean, Dallas doesn't really do anything with the football other than run the ball. The Jets' biggest strength is their rush defense. So how's Dallas going to move the football in the Jets? I mean, the Jets could probably win this game 3-0 if they wanted to on Saturday. Let's go to Rob here. Wrote starting the call line earlier. Call line open 646-716-4697. We want to hear from you guys out there. If you're a Jet fan, you should be pumped. You should be ready to talk some football. Rob, you're live. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I want to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I heard there were some reports I saw in some of the New York media, about how their Jets are talking about maybe extending him another year, bringing him back. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about why I think that's actually a really good idea for them.
Okay.
First off, I mean, the last three games he's been, I mean, more than anybody could have expected how good he's been playing. But, I mean, we have a guy by the name of Bryce Petty on the bench. He's not ready to come in yet. Fitzpatrick knows the offense. He's worked with Shane Gailey before. He's showing signs of improvement. I mean, the guy is a Harvard graduate. He's a smart dude. He's actually, you could tell, I mean, it's just game by game as you watch. The relationship with Marshall and Decker is just getting better and better. He's a good veteran. He could teach Petty while he's on the bench. I just think, like, imagine what he would do with a whole nother offseason, a whole nother, you know, training camp. You got to like Fitzpatrick right now to stay another year and maybe show Petty the ropes and develop him. Even Geno, if he's still around, you know, he's could develop him. Let him sit and learn from a veteran who's, I mean, absolutely playing, like, great right now. I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about.
Listen, Rob, there's no doubt in my mind that the Jets are going to try and extend Ryan Fitzpatrick after this year. That's a foregone conclusion. Because here's the reality, okay? Unless you think Bryce Petty is going to take the keys to your car and drive it and say, here you go, Bryce, this is your team, which I don't think is in anybody's mind in that organization right now, you don't have another option besides Ryan Fitzpatrick. And here's the other fact. Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing like a top 15 quarterback right now. I mean, his numbers are ridiculous for this year. I think he's got one or two less touchdown passes on the year than Aaron Rodgers or something like that. I mean, the guy is playing the best football he's ever played in his career. The Jets are getting the best quarterback play they've had probably since maybe Chad Pennington or Vinny Testaverde. So, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick has stepped up. He's fit the bill for the Jets. They're 8-5. And look, barring Ryan Fitzpatrick costing the Jets the season and, you know, finishing 8-8 and losing out here, I mean, what other options really are out there besides Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because here's another reality of the situation is the Jets are not going to be in any type of position in the draft to draft a top quarterback, because they're going to be if they, you know, finish, you know, 10-6 or 9-7 or 11-5 even, you know, they're going to be in the middle of the pack of the draft towards the tail end of the draft. So unless you're going to sell the farm to get a quarterback, probably not going to get a top quarterback in the draft. Free agency, you know, there's really the best quarterback in free agency this year is going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, you're really going to be in a tight situation, because if you don't sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, then you're going to be looking at Bryce Petty. Geno Smith will never play another down for the New York Jets ever again. It'll never happen unless Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt this year. Geno Smith will not be coming back. He will be gone from the Jets after this year. But the next question is, what's Ryan Fitzpatrick looking for? Because if you want to recall, when Ryan Fitzpatrick had his best year in Buffalo, it was a contract year, okay? And then he went out and he got paid from the Buffalo Bills, okay? So right. Do I think the Jets should give him a ridiculous amount of money? Absolutely not. The whole point of having Ryan Fitzpatrick is so that you can have Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Darrell Revis, Calvin Pryor, Antonio Cromartie, Muhammad Wilkerson. If you have a quarterback that makes a lot of money, you're not going to be able to pay a lot of guys around him. That's why Aaron Rodgers is struggling right now. That's why Russell Wilson finally came on. You know, the Seattle Seahawks won those Super Bowls because they were able to stack a team around a very low-salary quarterback. The Jets have been a low-salary quarterback team for quite some time now. And they're able to go out and get these top players for defense or offense because their quarterback is not such a big hit on the cap. If you ask me, am I going to pay Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot of money that's going to hinder me signing Muhammad Wilkerson, I'll tell Fitzpatrick to pack his bag and catch the next flight out of here. So,
right.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where it comes down to, what is Ryan – because Ryan Fitzpatrick knows, okay, he's not stupid. He went to Harvard, okay? He's not stupid. He knows that after this year, what are the Jets going to do? Who's going to play quarterback? He's got to get paid. He wants to get paid. I think he's making like $1 or $2 million this year. He's making money like a backup. So he's going to want to get paid. So it matters how much of an extension. Are you going to give him 2 years? Are you going to give him one? Are you going to go get crazy and give him three? How much are you going to pay him? How much is going to be guaranteed? You know, I think the Jets will extend Ryan Fitzpatrick. I also think Ryan Fitzpatrick, see, here's where the Jets also have the leg up. There will be suitors for Ryan Fitzpatrick in free agency. They're watching him right now. And they're saying, okay, we can get this guy. Now, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, in my mind, is the type of guy that at this point in his career, he really doesn't want to join another organization, another club, and make it seven teams. He's moved here. His family's here. He's settled in nicely in New York. And the fan base loves him because he's winning. But at the end of the day, we all know money talks. That's the reality.
How much influence do you think like someone like Chan Gailey comes on the influence of him staying, too? I mean, he's had his best years with Chan Gailey when he was with Buffalo.
I mean, again, it all comes down to money. It's going to come down to money because you got to remember, Fitzpatrick is not playing. What Fitzpatrick is doing for the Jets numbers-wise this year, he is a bargain like you wouldn't believe. And he knows that. And he knows that he has the Jets in a situation where what are the Jets going to do? Are you comfortable with giving Bryce Petty the keys to running the Jets offense? I don't think so. I don't believe so.
No.
So who are you going to go out there and get in free agency? You're going to trade a first-round pick away and go draft the top quarterback? Is there anybody out there that you think could start immediately? There's really not. That's the problem with the Jets. And that was the problem with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And this is what I said about Ryan Fitzpatrick is the problem with him from the beginning. Is if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback for the New York Jets this year, you might have a good year this year. And I said this from the beginning. You might have a good year this year. You might have some fun with him, but you have no future at quarterback. And that's the problem.
Right. And that's the thing is like, right? I mean, how long did Aaron Rodgers sat for, I mean, how long? Like three or four years before he started. I mean, a lot of the greatest quarterbacks ever sat for years before they came in. I mean, there's not a lot of
guys
like...
Yeah, but here's the thing with that, Rob, though. If the great quarterbacks that sat had all-time greats in front of them. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing fantastic right now, but, you know, Bryce Petty's not sitting behind Brett Favre. Steve Young is not sitting behind Joe Montana. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick who's playing fantastic, but if the Jets think that Bryce Petty can lead this team to what Fitzpatrick is doing right now, they would tell Fitzpatrick goodbye in a second. Fitzpatrick is a stopgap quarterback who has really, really, you know, accelerated this offense and has made this team great. That's what he's done. But he's not their future. He's not a guy who's going to be here in 3 or 4 years. He's somebody that's here right now. And my advice to the Jet fan is, guess what? Enjoy the right now. Enjoy it. You're 8-5. You're playing good football. They're exciting. I think it's the first time they've had a top-10 offense since 1998. Enjoy it. But the reality is, you're talking about extending Fitzpatrick. You can extend Fitzpatrick, but remember, if you paid a quarterback, you paid a price elsewhere on a team.
Right. You just sacrifice it. You might sacrifice Wilkerson the money, which is that's another issue.
Right. Right. That's the thing. You know, are you going to – you know, that's where it comes down to, and this is where the Jets have gotten by with it. Because when you have a subpar quarterback doesn't really make top dollar. I mean, put it to you this way. Look at the contract that Josh McCown got this free agency from the Cleveland Browns. Look at that contract. And you tell me right now, would you rather have Josh McCown or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Oh, that's a no-brainer right now. You know,
Right. Do you think that Ryan Fitzpatrick going into free agency is going to look at that contract and say, that's what I want to get paid per year?
Of course. You know, I mean, especially if he finishes on a high note and he takes him to the playoffs and maybe even wins a game in the playoffs, which is a great possibility, especially if they see Cincinnati. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, I mean, there is a good chance that we could win a game or even two in the playoffs. I mean, it doesn't really matter how you start the season. It's how you finish. And we still got three games left, so you got to take one game at a time. And I'm really curious, you know, if we win Dallas, I'm really curious to see how we do against New England. I think that'll be an unbelievable game for us. If we win four in a row, coming in to New England coming to our home, I think you get a lot of sense of where the team is at.
You know something too, Rob? Here's the funny part, you know, and this is where it's going to get wild. It's going to get crazy. Is there's a couple things that are going to happen for the Jets. The first thing is, you know, I truly believe that the Jets are going to fare very well against Dallas on Saturday. I think that the Dallas Cowboys are run all Dallas can do on offense is run the ball. They can't pass the ball, and the Jets have the best rushing defense statistically in football. So that's a cross out right there. I think the Jets will go into Dallas and take care of business against a Cowboys team that got blown out by the Packers and have nothing to play for. If for some reason, this would be so New York Jet-like, okay, for the Jets to blow a game in Dallas, to lose to a lowly Matt Castle-led Cowboys team, and this is something I don't know if everybody knows this out there. I learned this week. If the Jets go out and they lose 115-0 on Saturday night against the Dallas Cowboys, let's say the New York Jets don't even show up. They miss the game, okay? They don't show up. And the Pittsburgh Steelers lose to the Denver Broncos on Sunday. The New York Jets control their own destiny. If they beat New England and Buffalo, they're in the playoffs. So it's crazy. Because if the Jets beat Dallas, then record-wise, you hang with everybody. You're hanging with Kansas City, and you're hanging with Pittsburgh. That's why you need to win the game on Saturday, because you're playing record-wise. But if for some reason they lose to Dallas on Saturday, and Pittsburgh loses to the Denver Broncos, the New York Jets control their own destiny. They need either Pittsburgh to lose a game, Kansas City to lose a game, the Denver Broncos to lose two games. It's amazing because they do not control their own destiny right now. And that's crazy, because if this team won 11, if we said to ourselves, Rob, as Jet fans, when we look at our schedule and we go into the preseason and we're feeling good about ourselves, we say, all right, we're ready to go back to MetLife Stadium. It's Jet football time, right? And we say, the New York Jets are going to finish 11-5 this year. What would you have said to yourself?
I would have said, I would have gave fucking, excuse my language, I would have gave Bowles and McCanahan, I would have gave them, I would have built monuments outside the Jet Stadium.
right. And now we're talking about finishing 11-5 and not making the playoffs. It's insane.
And that's crazy. And then you look across the river and you see the Giants.
Yep.
Freaking 5 and whatever they are, and they're almost winning the division.
Yep.
You know?
That's crazy. It just puts it into perspective, you know, and it would be such a Jet situation for everybody to be so down on Saturday night after a loss, and then Pittsburgh lose and everybody just get right back out of their chairs and get ready to go to MetLife on Sunday to try and take down New England. I mean, that's just something that would just be more like the New York Jets than them, you know, doing what they have to do and letting the chips fall where they may. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's funny because I compared the Jets, being a Jets fan, to being someone who's been in an abusive relationship their whole life. You don't want to trust your new partner because you've been abused your whole life. So you don't want to trust. You don't want to, like, a new girl comes in your life and then you're just like, oh, this is it, and then they let you down again. So I think that the Jets have a lot of work to do on building a confidence with the fans. Like, the Patriots, they walk into every game, and the fans, if they lose, they're, like, shocked. And if the Jets lose, it's, like, same old Jets. It's a completely different mindset from fan base, you know? And that's kind of, as a Jet fan, you want to have hope they're 8-5. And there's always that, you don't want to also be like, oh, well, they're going to blow it. You don't want to be the guy from Major League 2 in the stands with the X on his, you know, Indian shirt. You know, that's kind of what, as a Jet fan, you feel like, well, they're going to get there and then they're going to blow it, or they're going to get there and then, you know, they give us hope and then they let us down. It's tough. It's really tough being a Jet fan, but you want to hope that we have a new management, we have a new head coach, we have a new wide receivers, you know, and I have nothing but positive vibes right now, and you know, if they lose Dallas on Saturday night, we're going to be shot again. The Jet fans are the biggest bipolar fans you'll ever meet. One week we're on top of the world, we're gonna win the Super Bowl. The next week we're the worst team in the league.
Let me ask you a question before I let you go.
Sure.
What is your confidence level going into this week? 1 to 10.
1 to 10, I like him about 8.5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm even closer to a 9. I honestly don't see the Jets. Just the way that these two teams are formed, just the way that the matchup goes down, this is a huge matchup for the Jets. Rob, I want to thank you for the call, my man. Enjoy the rest of the year. Hope to talk to you soon. Happy holidays.
You too. Happy holidays. Take care.
All right, take care. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk more playoff scenarios. We'll talk more Dallas back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here. I want to thank Rob for a nice long call there. You know, it's always good discussion. And, you know, like I said before, it's, you know, when it comes down to Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, we'll get to the offseason when we get to the offseason. But it's a very long road for the New York Jets after this year, you know, in terms of the quarterback, because you don't know what you're going to do. Look, I mean, I would love Ryan Fitzpatrick to come back here. Every Jet fan would. The offense has finally – the Jets have now become an offense – and I don't think we have seen it, you know, in this Jet fan generation right now. The Jet fan that, you know, is used to Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith and, you know, poor quarterback play. The New York Jets offense is now an offense where if you're saying, you know what, this offense can take over a football game. Whereas every offense that we've seen from the Jets recently is, You know what? Don't blow it. The defense will take care of business when it counts. The offense is just there to give the defense a lead. This offense is there to win football games. The Giant game, one of the greatest games I've ever been to. The defense gave the offense a play to say, you know what? Go win it. Go get that ball. The defense got it, and the offense did the rest. I mean, Brandon Marshall cementing his, you know, one of the best, if not the best year a New York Jets wide receiver's ever had. It's remarkable. And I don't know if that is, you know, due to Ryan Fitzpatrick or if it's just due to the fact that he's on a team that he's, you know, Eric Decker, you know, these guys are something special this year, these two wide receivers. And, you know, going down the run here, they're going to have to rely on them. They're really going to have to rely on them because this is the bread and butter of this Jets offense. You know, I think the running game finally had a nice game. I mean, Bilal Powell really has come on strong after his injury. You know, this week against the Cowboys, it's going to be one of those weeks where I'm telling you, and I felt like this going into the Tennessee game, okay? I honestly, and this is not me being cocky after a big win, I had no concerns about with the Tennessee game. I said, you know what? Jets are not going to come out flat. You know, they're much better than Tennessee, and the Jets eat up rookie quarterbacks. It's what they do. You look at the New York Jets numbers over the past odd years against rookies. They beat them up. So I say to myself, what is the biggest challenge in this Dallas game? Well, it's not the Cowboys' offense. The Jets run the ball. You know, I mean, the Jets' rush defense is the best in football. It really, really isn't their defense because you saw the Cowboys' defense fold late against the Packers. After, you know, the Cowboys, honestly, let's be honest here. They've played very, very well with what they've had, you know, the last couple weeks. They played well against the Packers until they just folded. They basically said, you know what, we have nothing left. I got nothing. That's really what they said. They were in a fight with the Packers, and then the Packers pulled away on them. And they said to themselves, you know what, forget it. We're out. They gave up against the Packers. They quit. Against the Redskins, they gave it everything they had, and they won the football game. And they gave themselves a heartbeat. Regardless of what anybody says, it was a heartbeat. They're dead now. Their season's over. If somehow, some way they would have beat the Packers, this game would be a lot more scary in a lot of people's minds because they're saying, look at this Cowboys team. They got a shot. They're going to give it everything they have, and they're at home. The Cowboys got nothing to play for. And a Cowboys fan right now is saying, look, I don't care what you do. I'd rather lose and get the draft pick. You know, what type of environment are you looking at on Saturday night? You're looking at kind of a dead house. You're looking at a dead house. The Cowboys are going to be playing for pride. If the New York Jets execute their game plan and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, which, again, could very, very, very well so happen. It could happen. I've seen the Jets shoot themselves in the foot plenty of times and lose to themselves. But this is a game the Jets should win. And I'll tell you something else. I just secured my ticket today for a pretty penny. But this game against New England is setting up to be one of the biggest home games in the history of the Jets. It's huge. The Jets don't get a lot of home games that everybody really gets up for. They don't. The Jets are historically, their big wins are on the road. And this is setting up to be a rival game, especially if the Broncos can beat the Steelers on Sunday, and the Jets are in two win-you're-in situations, the first against the New England Patriots, and the second against Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, that's something. Because this is going to be one heck of a finish here. Let's go behind the scenes and let's bring our producer on the show here, Nick Lucarelli. Nick, what is going on, my man? Long time. I think we're still waiting. for his mic to kick in. You know, as we wait for that to go happen, you know, this is another game that I look at against the Cowboys, and I also look at the defense and the secondary playing a big part. Nick, you on with me, man? And I look at this game and I say, you know, the Jets have an opportunity now to kind of set the scene for themselves. You know, and if you look at – see, the only thing that really is upsetting to me as a Jet fan is if you look at the remaining schedules in these teams, you're going to have to become a Baltimore Ravens fan because the Chiefs and the Steelers have the Ravens left on their schedule. And it's very, very concerning. Because if the New York Jets can't find a way to pull it through against the Cowboys, then if neither of them loses, you know, forget it. Let's bring in Nick here behind the scenes. Nick, are we good, my man?
I think so.
All right, we're good. So what's going on? How's everything?
Pretty good. How you doing?
So, Nick, you're more of a – how should I word this correctly? You're more of a – I wouldn't want to say realist because I'm a realist. But you're a little bit more of a negative Nancy when it comes to the Jets, if we're being honest here. So what do you think of the current situation right now and what's your thoughts?
I'm pretty depressed about the current situation, I got to be honest.
I hit the nail right on the head.
It's got me up at night at the prospect of the fact that the Jets can go 11-5 and not make the playoffs. I can't think of anything else. My teacher asked me a question today in class, and I told him that I couldn't really answer it. I was too busy worrying about all the types of scenarios that need to happen, and whether or not the Chiefs can beat the Raiders, and there's just, or the Raiders can beat the Chiefs. It's pretty mind-boggling that the AFC, the wild card race, is so tight that the Jets could go 11-5 and not make the playoffs. So I'm pretty upset. I'm not really worried about this week. You know, I'm about at a 10. In confidence level, which worries me a little bit because I've never felt more confident about a game, which makes you think, of course, they're going to lose because I feel really confident about that. But I'm very concerned about the next two, and I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
You know, what's funny is I'm really with you. I honestly, like, unless the Jets really come out and have no desire in heart, which I think it's impossible because they know they got to win out if they want to make the playoffs. And you know, and I think that, but what the funny part is that it's always, you know, I don't think that the Jets are going to finish 11-5 and not make the playoffs. I think something's going to happen that either we're going to be kicking ourselves that we didn't win this game, or we didn't, you know, finish against New England, or we let New England back in the game, or we did something against the Patriots that cost us the season. You know, where the Pittsburgh Steelers could lose a game that nobody thought they're going to, and the Jets could lose to the Patriots. And we say to ourselves, well, guess what? Now you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And, you know, the Jets-Patriots game is setting up to be, it's setting up to be something that's going to be pretty wild in a couple weeks, especially if the Jets beat Dallas. You know, if the Jets beat Dallas and they go into that game 9-5, you know, it's going to set up to be one of the biggest games, like I said, in Jets home history. You know, New England is going to come in there. They've been playing well. You know, they're going to be ready to go against the Jets, and they would love nothing more. Don't think this for a second. If Bill Belichick had home field and if he had everything wrapped up, he would still be going into that game guns blazing because they would love nothing more than to knock the New York Jets out of the playoffs. And, you know, overall, I look at this game against Dallas. I say, you know what? If you don't win this game, you don't deserve to make the playoffs. And then you're setting up the New England showdown. And the crazy part is, you know, like I was saying to Rob, who had called in before, if the Jets lose this game and the Broncos beat the Steelers, the New York Jets control their own destiny.
Yeah, but if the Jets win this game and the Broncos beat the Steelers, then we're really on to something. And I totally get what you're saying, and I know where you're coming from, but me personally, I have no interest in the Jets making the playoffs if they lose to Dallas. I really don't. And to me, it means that they're just not a good team. To me, for the Jets to make the playoffs, they need, the worst I'll accept is that they go 10-6 and almost beat New England and somehow get in. Other than that, I don't want to be back tiptoeing into the playoffs. Not that that's going to happen anyway. I don't think 9-7 to get you in. But I mean, even if it could, or even if they go to 10-6 but they lose to Dallas, that's me. Just means you're. I can't count on you. Let me tell you something.
If the New York Jets lose to Dallas and beat New England and Buffalo and make the playoffs, you're out of your mind if you don't think that if they beat New England, that'll be one of the best wins that'll be a tasty win right there. It'll make you forget about Dallas immediately if you beat the New England Patriots at home.
It'll be a candy bar win. It'll feel great while I'm eating it, but guess what? I'm going to be reminded as soon as that I'm done eating it that, wow, we lost to Dallas last week. That means that if we have to play the Bengals in the playoffs, I can't trust us, or even the Colts. Because if you can lose to Dallas, that means that you have no – I mean,
I honestly don't think there's anything to worry about with the Cowboys. I really don't. I don't either.
I don't either, and that worries me. I'm at a 10. This is the most confidence I've ever had before a Jet game in my entire life.
And I think that's with good reason, though. I mean, I think Dallas has mailed it in. Dallas has packed it in. If you watch the end of the Dallas and Packers game, they really packed it in. If Dallas would have beaten Green Bay, okay, if Dallas would have somehow, some way beaten Green Bay, then their beating heart that they had, okay, would have gotten a little bit stronger. But they didn't. And there's no chance of them going anywhere. Now they're probably playing for a draft pick. The Jets are playing for their lives. I honestly don't see it. But
neither do I.
But the next thing that I'm looking at here is, you know, the Jets are really, really going to need some help. And, you know, can the Broncos beat the Steelers on Sunday? That's the biggest thing.
I don't think so. I think a good thing we got going for us is the Steelers are on a roll right now, which I think actually might work against them. And the fact that the Broncos are coming off a loss, and they're not stupid. I mean, these players and these coaches, they know what's going on in the league. They know what people think about them, and they know what the situations are. I think they know they got to get a win, and that beating the Steelers would be a huge win on the road. So I think they're going to play hard. I just don't know if they're good enough with just their offense in general to go and outscore the Steelers, who are just on fire. But, I mean, if they can, that'd be beautiful.
Well, here's the thing. You know, here's the thing. If the Steelers win, then we root against – then the next best-case scenario is Steelers win, Bengals beat the Broncos on Monday Night Football the following week, the Chiefs go to first place, and we take the wild card spot. That's
a good point. But what do you think about – because I've been thinking about this all day, and that makes sense to me also. I also think another pretty high – like it's likely the Bengals lose out. And if the Bengals lose out and we win out, then we'd also pick it.
I mean, it's definitely a possibility because the Bengals are playing with their – I mean, here's the deal. You know, you're also – look at it from this perspective. If the Broncos and Bengals both lose this weekend, I'm not sure who – I think Cincinnati goes on the road to play San Francisco, which is not an easy game going West Coast with a backup quarterback.
So, yeah, that was McCarron, yeah.
Right. So if the Bengals lose and the Broncos lose, the New York Jets are going to get help on Monday night no matter what. One of those teams is going to lose. So then you say to yourself, okay, you know, let's take a look. You know, let's take a look at the Broncos schedule. Let's pull it up right here. This is what's great about doing an online show is you have the internet right in front of you. So let's take a look at the Broncos' remaining schedule. For the good old Denver Broncos. So this week, obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers. Next week they play Cincinnati, and they end the season. They end the season home against San Diego. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you look at it and you say, what games do you see them winning? You know, they're home against Denver. They're home against Cincinnati. Which, you know, you got to say to yourself, okay, A.J. McCarron going into Denver, how confident are you in the Bengals? So if Pittsburgh wins, you kind of got to hope for a miracle with Cincinnati in the Monday Night Football game. And now let's take a look at the Bengals schedule. If you take a look at Cincinnati, let's pull the Cincinnati Bengals schedule up Cincinnati goes to San Francisco this week. You know, so that is a game where, you know, what 49er team shows up? That's the real question. And then they go to Denver, and then they end the season against the Baltimore Ravens at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, division game, anything can happen. That's the thing where McCarron is a wild card. He could be horrible. He could be Ryan Lindley-esque for all we know, and everything's fine, and they lose out easily. Or he could be tremendous. We have no idea, and that's the kind of thing that's scary, but also a little bit hopeful. We can hope that he's going to be pretty bad, and that can maybe just end the conversation right there. They go 10-6, we go 11-5, we don't have to even worry about anybody else.
Here's the one game that I'm really thinking this week could be very interesting that not a lot of people are talking about, okay? The Kansas City Chiefs go on the road and face the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Kansas City is a very good team. I think they've won like 7 in a row or something like that. And they're, you know, they were in a situation, I don't know if you watched the game, Nick, against San Diego, where the Chargers are sitting on a 2-yard line with about 5 seconds to go in the game, a touchdown away from tying it up. Kansas City held on for dear life on at home against the Chargers. This Baltimore Ravens at home. You know, if this game was in Kansas City, I wouldn't give the Ravens a shot. But the fact that Baltimore is home, the fact that Kansas City is traveling to the East Coast to play the Ravens, the fact that Kansas City is 4-3 on the road this year, I honestly think that the Jets' best shot might be a Baltimore upset against the Chiefs this week. What do you think of that?
I agree with you, but I think you also got a pretty compelling one week 17 with the Raiders and the Chiefs because, you know, as you know, it's hard to beat any team in your division twice, even though it's
just
in Kansas City.
I just look at Kansas City at home, though. I look at Kansas City at home. Kansas City is built to win their home games. That's what they are. They're a home. They've always been that way. So Kansas City going into Baltimore makes me think to myself, can Baltimore pull one out? And that is another interesting tidbit. I think, I mean, if I look at Pittsburgh's schedule, I mean, this is the schedule that really concerns me, okay? This is the schedule that I say to myself, wow, you know, this is where, you know, the Jets really got such a bad break with Andy Dalton getting hurt in the Steeler game, because the Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game was the game that we were supposed to get our help in. This was the game that we all said to ourselves, okay, you know, this is Pittsburgh's biggest chance to lose. It's going to be against Cincinnati. Then Andy Dalton goes down, and we all get screwed as Jet fans. So
yeah.
Let's take a look. So Pittsburgh this week has the Denver Broncos at home. Okay, Pittsburgh 5-2 at home this year. Pittsburgh then goes to Baltimore. The game has been flexed back to a 1 o'clock game. Again, it's in Baltimore, divisional opponent. I believe Pittsburgh beat Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, earlier in this year? Or was it the other way around?
Baltimore beat Pittsburgh to get their first win.
Correct. Okay. Then they go to Cleveland. So you're finishing with Denver, Baltimore, Cleveland. In Cleveland is the last game of the year.
That game in Cleveland, I think, is their best shot to lose. Believe it or not, I think even more so than this week because of the house
their
money
shot to
that
lose
the Cleveland
is
was playing with.
Pulling his foot again or something like that. That's their best shot to lose.
Well, you're right about that.
I mean, if Ben Roethlisberger takes a big hit or something along those lines, you know, that there goes Pittsburgh's season. So, I mean, I look at this, you know, these games, and I say to myself, you know, I think the Jets are going to get help. I really do. I don't think that 11-5 is going to put them in a position to not make the playoffs. It looks that way right now because, you know, just based off the opponents left and based off of how Pittsburgh is playing. But I honestly, truly believe that if the Jets finish 11-5, the football gods will not put them in a position to not make the playoffs. It just doesn't work that way. If the Jets lose another game, well, then it's on them. Then it's on them.
No,
and at the
yeah,
and
I
also,
totally agree.
My thought process, too, is, look, if you went into this season, and not to be, you know, the person who settles for mediocre or settles for average play or settles, you know, for anything less than, you know, success. But if you went into this year and you said, you know what, I think that, you know, would you sign up for a 10-6 record? If someone said, Nick, here's a contract. You can sign up for 10-6 right now. Would you sign up for it?
Before I signed up for an eight contract, so yes.
Right.
There you go. That's the answer to your question. That's the answer to your question. The Jets are exceeding expectations right now. They really are. They're exceeding expectations. They're 8-5. They've got 3 games left. They can't finish any worse than 8-8. They were a 4-12 team last year. They brought in a first-year head coach, a journeyman quarterback, a top wide receiver who's had problems everywhere that he's played. You know, the Jets are in a good spot right now. Everything has come together for them. So if they get into the playoffs, you know, the one thing the New York Jets do is win games that they're not supposed to. They lose games that they're supposed to win, and then they win games that they're not supposed to. That's the New York Jets' success in a nutshell right there. This week, I really like them against the Cowboys. Because I think the Cowboys, the only thing the Cowboys can do offensively is run the ball. And you can't run the ball on the Jets. Unless the Jets rush defense decides to miss the plane or doesn't show up, or unless the Jets come out and play like they played against the Oakland Raiders, which, again, I don't see happening on Saturday night in prime time in a game you got to have. But, I mean, I think this game is going to just set up a big Patriot game. And, look, if the Broncos can do it, then the Jets are really sitting pretty. Because then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if the Jets lose to the Patriots and the Jets beat the Cowboys and the Bills and the Pittsburgh finishes 10-6 and the Jets finish 10-6, do the Jets win out? Or do the Jets make the tiebreaker?
No, because I believe that Patriots, I'm almost 100% sure I can check right now, that the Steelers would still have the better conference record, which is the tiebreaker for wild card.
Well, I think they would have the same conference record. It's a matter of the same problem that it is right now. It's the common opponents.
Is that what it is? Because I think the Jets and the Steelers have the same conference record right now.
The Jets and the Steelers have the same conference record. The Jets are ahead in common opponents right now, I believe.
Oh, I
see
what you're saying, because in your scenario, we're beating 2 AFC opponents, and they're beating 2 because they're losing to one of them, so we're going to have to say, okay, that makes sense.
Correct.
Yeah, so...
Correct.
Yeah,
that's
so,
why the Jets, if the Jets lose to Dallas on Saturday, if that happens, and the Steelers lose to the Broncos, that game means nothing. Doesn't mean anything.
You are correct. Yes, you're correct.
Doesn't mean
it's as if the 2 games were eliminated from the schedule. Yes.
Right. So then you say to yourself, okay, if you beat Dallas and then you lose to New England, you know, then you're in an even worse situation. You got to win your conference games. Because it's going to come down to conference, and if the Jets beat the 2 game, they win the 2 games, they're going to finish 1 game ahead of Pittsburgh in the conference, and they make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I totally agree, but this is something that I'm trying not to think about too much because I'm excited about the fact that I think the Jets are going to win handily on Saturday, and I'm trying to live in the moment and not be pessimistic. But there's no reason to believe the Jets aren't going to lose to New England. There's no – and when I say that, I mean that.
That game is very
50-50. That game is very – they could easily lose, which is unfortunate.
See, I disagree. When I said to myself back when they played New England in Gillette Stadium, I said I picked New England because I said to my I think to myself, you know what? The teams, the division games, the home team usually wins. The Jets have, you know, the Jets play their best football against New England at home. It's going to be a huge game for them. I really honestly believe that the Jets have a very good chance, a very, very good chance, more than what I usually would say against New England, in going into that football game, especially if you beat Dallas. If you beat Dallas and you're sitting at 9-5 and you're going home to play New England, I'm pretty confident that they could get a win in that game. I really am, because I think that the Jets are going to want that football game. I think the Jets are going to pour their season. It wouldn't surprise me if the Jets beat Dallas and New England and then lose to Buffalo in Week 17.
Yeah, me either. You're right. That's
it really wouldn't surprise me. Because the Jets are going to play the New England game like it's their Super Bowl. It's their home game. The fans are going to be into it. I just bought a ticket today for $300 on StubHub for the New England game because that's what they're going for. You want to sit anything even upstairs is $220 right now on secondary ticket market. Why? Because people are pumped up for this game. Everybody's jacked up for this football game. It'll be one of the biggest Jets home games in a very long time.
Well, I'll say this though, just to end my point of view on a positive note, and I mean this wholeheartedly.
Sure.
With all of the wealth of my football knowledge. If the Jets win out, and they win out, and that means that they beat Dallas, which is a pretty easy win, but they beat New England, which they rarely do, and then they beat Buffalo in Buffalo, the Jets are a legitimate Super Bowl team. In my opinion, they're going to get to the AFC Championship. If they win out and are that hot going into the playoffs, it's going to be better chances, in my opinion, than 2010. I think that's what we're going to be looking at if they win out.
That's if they win out and make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I totally agree with you that if they win out, they will make the playoffs. I think that if they win out,
something will happen. Let me ask you a question. Here's another way that you can gauge the Jets, okay? Out of any team in the AFC, does any team scare you on a 10 level if you had to play them in the playoffs other than the New England Patriots?
The Steelers in Pittsburgh, but that won't happen because there's no way they're going to win the division unless Cincinnati loses out, so no. Steelers in Pittsburgh would scare me. But I don't think there's anyone that would ever play them, even if they did. I think they're too close, so they wouldn't play them until the AFC Championship. So, no, New England, definitely.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If the Jets get into the playoffs, if the Jets have to go to Cincinnati in the first week of the playoffs, are you going to be saying, you know what, there's no chance Jets can win this game?
I'm confident they win.
Right. If the Jets have to go to Indianapolis to start the playoffs, or the Jets have to go to Houston again to start the playoffs, are you concerned about that game?
I'm confident they win. That's the thing. Because we're talking about them making the playoffs. Like at this moment, maybe I'm not as confident, but we're talking about the fact that they won enough games to get into the playoffs, which means they had to at least beat Buffalo or New England. They had to have. So that means that I feel good.
If the Jets want to make it to the playoffs, they have to beat the New England Patriots on Sunday the 27th. It's what it's going to come down to. Pittsburgh, if you lose to New England, then you're going to need one of those teams to finish 9-7.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
10-6 maybe, which I think is that's hard enough as it is.
Right, but it 10-6 doesn't matter unless it's 10-6 with wins against New England and Buffalo.
100%.
Because if you and the Chiefs finish 10-6, the Chiefs make it in.
That's right.
If you and the Steelers finish 10-6, the Steelers make it in. If you beat Dallas by 100, if you beat Dallas by 100 and then you lose to New England, it's for naught.
You're right. Yeah, it's daunting. It's daunting.
Right.
These three games
still
mean so much.
And if you lose to Dallas on Saturday, don't for a second think the season's over.
I agree. It's a fact. I can't disagree with you.
I know what you're saying. You're right. If the Jets lose to Dallas, I agree with you. They don't deserve to make the playoffs because you shouldn't lose to a bad football team like that. You're
not
right.
Not for the fourth time. Not for the fourth time in a year. I mean,
right.
It's the.
You're right. But let's talk about it from. Let's talk about it from scenario situation, okay? Let's just pretend that we're talking about an NFC team. We don't even know if it's Dallas or not. Let's just talk about it scenario-wise. The game on Saturday, unless you're talking record-wise, means nothing. It means nothing.
Yes. Yeah. But it means something if Pittsburgh beats Denver.
Without question. If the Jets don't beat Dallas on Saturday and Pittsburgh wins on Sunday, you can almost start the buses.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I think that we don't have to do anything. We can think about however we want, but I think we want to be realist. I think that we have to kind of assume Pittsburgh is going to beat Denver. They really should beat Denver.
The only thing that they have with that is, and then one of the reasons why I was very happy, other than the fact that we need Denver to lose anyway, is the Denver. If the Denver Broncos are a good number one or number two seeded team, they'll look at this and they'll say, you know what, we're too good to lose back to back games. And they'll go into Pittsburgh with the mindset and win the football game. And their defense will shut down Roethlisberger. They'll run the ball. They'll do what they have to do, and they'll get their win and they'll go home.
Yeah, it'd be a statement game too to the rest of the AFC that they are that good, despite not having Peyton Manning. That they beat Pittsburgh, who's might be the hottest team other than Seattle in the entire league. So that'd be a big win on the road. It'd be a huge win.
Right? No. I mean, you're 100% right. It's going to be very, very interesting to see the way that it boils down towards the end of the year. And remember, the sports talk never stops here on Jet Nation Radio. It continues around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new users. You want to talk about this playoff race. You want to, you know, map out your favorite scenario, the best way for the Jets to get into the playoffs. Do it right now, JetNation.com. Look, big win against Dallas. The Jets need to get it. The Jets need to get this big win. They need to go into this game. They need to take care of their own business, and they need to keep stackpiling wins because it's all going to come down. It's all going to come down to the wire this year. Three games to go. You're in a three-game playoff. You win three, you should get in. You lose to Dallas, you better become the biggest Bronco fan there is out there. Either way, the Jets need to get this win on Saturday. They need to take care of business. We'll see what happens, and we'll see you next week. And I also want to wish everybody happy holidays out there. Be safe and enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.